presence, and in your presence is where I want to stay. Yahshua, what a joy it is just to say your name. In your presence is where I want to stay. Yahshua, what a joy it is just to say your name.
Thank you. Last night I dreamed you were back again, larger than life again, holding me tight again, placing those same kisses on my brow, sweeter than ever now. Song haunting me, I can't get the melody out of my head to see. Distractions I've been using. Do you know how much you lose? And no, you don't, but I do. Yeah, but I do. Do you know how much I love you? No, you don't, but I do. Never will, came to my knees again. I can't close the door on the likelihood. Think it might be just as good. Always believe it would. I gotta let your love invite me. Baby, do you think it might be? No, you don't, but I do. Yeah.
sat in a room, oh, in a square the color of blood. Through the whole world, there was a way that he could. He'd sit and he'd stare at the minarets on top of the towers. For he was a beast as he hatched his new plans to gain power. And snow fell, covering the dreams and ideas. And the snow fell, freezing the blood and the wills. And the snow fell, they had to keep warm for survival. And the snow fell, and defeated the beast's only rival. Took the old roads, not the poison had taken before. They fought as the forces of light against the darkness in a holy war. One day they were looking around and the sun was shining on the cold flowers. The next day they were freezing to death in the snow in the ice cold showers. And the snow fell, covering the dreams and ideas. And the snow fell, freezing the blood and the wheels. And the snow fell, they had to keep warm for survival. And the snow fell, and defeated the beast's only rivals. Then came the deadly road back from the steps of their retreat. The Korak, the bodies, what worse was the pain of defeat. Many people who had held them once now turned and looked away. These people now knew that the beast was on his way. And the snow fell, covering the dreams and ideas. And the snow survival. And snow fell, and defeated the beast's only rival. We'll be right back.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design radio broadcast for the 28th day of August, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is regathering. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Prynhanda, Cymru Ambith. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. So again, that is pastordan.net. And our adage that we're going to remind you of is that the will of our Heavenly Father will never take you where His grace will not protect you. We're all on a mission here, folks. At that website, PastorDan.net, we do want to draw your attention to the Daily Mail page where I put daily updates on just what's going on around the world, whether it's about health or politics or whatever. Also, there is a home page that has some information about us and also information on how to make a donation if you feel so inclined. And a great big thank you and Yahweh's blessing to the folks out here that do help us out from time to time. Also want to draw your attention to two websites that are becoming more and more important as the days go by, it seems. And that is militiausa.org, and that's all together with no spaces as well. militiausa.org and righteousarmy.org, and that's all together with no spaces either. Speaking of which, there will be another national militia meeting tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. If you have a chance, you could go there. If you wish to listen in live, or if you want to listen to the archive of it, go to righteousarmy.org, and you should see a listing there. I'm going to repeat some of the quotes that I had in a previous broadcast because I think they're very important for us today. And the first one is Richard Buckminster Fuller, where he says, "You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete." These are extremely wise words for the current situation that we're in, and people need to understand what he says in this very short sentence, okay? Many of us, in fact, this goes back to, I'm having a hard time thinking of his name, but anyway, the quote where, I think it's Voltaire said, "For every 1,000 people swinging at the branches of evil, there's only one who is chopping at the root of this evil." Okay? And that is the problem today. We have all this technology. We have all these platforms, many good-hearted individuals. And yes, we have a tremendous amount of evil in this world today. I mean, just take a look around. You got to be pretty much blind not to see it. But for every 1,000 that are out there whining and bitching and trying to create something to take care of the branches, we're overlooking the simple solution, and that is to strike at the root. The root of this evil in the world, or this tree of evil, as in the quote is speaking of, is the Babylonian financial system. And yes, it's run by those guys with the little hats. Okay? But that is where their power lies. In this Babylonian fake fraudulent fiat money system that allows them to create what they call money. They have you believing is money out of thin air, which virtually makes them as rich as they want to be, as rich as digits in a computer can make anybody to be. What is the one thing that stops a monstrous system, this mystery Babylonian system that we find ourselves in? What's the one thing that stops them dead in their tracks? Righteousness. People who do and say and believe according to our Heavenly Father's righteous code. Because money can't buy people like that off. Because they do what is right regardless of the money situation. Now, unfortunately, up until recently, the vast majority of this earth was full of merchants, as Mike Brown used to tell me. The merchants control the world today. And sure they do, because they will literally do anything for money. And as Mike Brown said, there are two kinds of people in this world. There are the merchants, and there are the warriors. Now, the merchants are running the show at present, but as Mike told us in that interview, in the end, warriors always win. Always win. As the meme goes on my website, it's not our job to wake up all the sheep. It's our job to wake up all the lions, the warriors, or as I say from time to time, the white Adamic men with weapons who have both the skill and the will to fight this draconian dystopic world system. Praise Yahweh that that remnant of lions is starting to wake up. And it gives hope to the hopeless. Gives a reason for the widows and orphans to believe that there is, quote, white hats out there. Not the ones that the hopium people are trying to sell you. But truly righteous warriors who do what they do for the right reasons and don't have any regard for the monetary cost or monetary reward. Thank you, Ella. Ella's telling us here that the sound quality seems to be okay. Very good. So, again, there's a lot of things that are happening, and it's also interesting that Andrew Torba, who is the founder of Gab, which is a lot like Twitter, and even David Rodriguez and his radio show from the Apocalypse, these people are all talking about the same thing that Mr. Richard Buckminster Fuller is talking about here. To change this existing dystopic world, we don't need to fight it. We just need to leave it. Exactly as it says in the book of Revelation. Exactly as it says in Ezekiel 36, which I have as a reading here if we have time for it. Ezekiel 36 talks about the house of Jacob Israel, which is a people, us. And the fact that our Father allowed the enemy to make us the tail when we were supposed to be the head, meaning in charge, having authority, because of our disobedience. And as 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people on whom my name is named or call upon my name make themselves humble and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked way. There's a string of if conditions there. If we do those things, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their transgressions and heal their land. And when he says heal their land, he means heal us as well, because we're broken as a people. Our spirits are broken. Our relationships today are broken. We're in a bad way. And oh, thank you, Angel. I'm getting some emojis here from Angel. So 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a formula for redemption and to fix the problem. And a little bit of that goes along with what Richard Buckminster Fuller says. And then Ralph Waldo Emerson, which I'm sure if you guys remember, even the public school system back in the day used to teach his material instead of all the gay and lesbian and tranny shit that they teach today. But in his book, The Value of Good Work, he says, if a man can write a better book or preach a better sermon or make a better mousetrap, then his neighbors do, or the people in the rest of the world. If you can do those three things, even though you build your house in the wilderness, the world will beat a path to your door. It's a little bit like that movie, Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. Jacob, Israel, warriors. If you build it, they will come. You see, everybody wants to put the cart before the horse. They want to see a huge militia army and marching in and destroying the dragon. That's putting the cart before the horse. You have to have the leaders first. You have to have the warriors step forward in courage and faith first. Then the warriors that are out there below the radar screen will come out of hiding, and your army will appear overnight. There is a righteous army out there. I know it. I've seen them. I've talked to them. They're out there. They just don't go on social media. They don't go to protests in Washington, D.C. when they know a traitor is the one calling them there. They're not going to do that. They're waiting for a righteous remnant to become the leaders that the prophets told us about. The prophets like Malachi and Obadiah and Ezekiel. When that group of lions decides enough is enough, and they're willing to step forward and join hands, locking arms, to resist this dragon, then that righteous army out there will appear. Now, the church world, they want you to believe that there's a rapture, which is not going to happen. They want you to believe there's a second coming where Yeshua is going to appear and do all the work for you. That's not going to happen either. He put us here to tend this garden. That's the job of the Adamic man. And he leads by example. He doesn't dictate terms to everybody else and then sit back and become a sloth or a reprobate or a degenerate. You don't get to do that, men. You lead by example. You lead in your own life by example. You lead your families by example. You lead society by example. You don't sit back in your drunken stupor or your drug-dazed stupor and tell everybody else what to do. No, you start living the word and show as an example to the rest of the world. And that is beginning to happen as well. So praise Yahweh. His will, his plan will come to pass. You have to understand that, folks. Everybody thinks that Satan's kids have this all wrapped up. Well, that's the mind game. That's the matrix working against you. If it was already wrapped up, you and I wouldn't be here. They'd already be in charge and you and I would be dead. So they want you to think that there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing anybody can do about it. When in fact, that is actually the opposite. As Sun Tzu told us in his book, The Art of War, the enemy is protracting great strength because they are extremely weak. Okay? all warfare is deception, and the greatest warriors in deception on earth are the Jews. They are masters of deception. Now, it helps the fact that they're printing out all the digital shekels, and they control most of the sources of media, and they've bought their way into the churches. Okay, so that helps them with their deception, of course. But even without that, they are masters at cunning and deception. And so they want us to believe that all hope is lost. They've got this thing wrapped up. There's nothing anybody can do, when the fact of the matter is that they're on the ropes, so to speak, for you people that watch boxing. They are on the ropes, running out of gas, and their lies are not working like they used to. Thanks again to our Heavenly Father, who opened up a door in the 1990s, even though it was designed for nefarious reasons. The internet became a way for righteous individuals to communicate, to tell each other what's really going on versus the Jewish version, which is always, always a deception. Every war we have fought, every war where we have lost our loved ones, has been a banker's war, which means a Jewish war. The wife of the founding father of the Rothschild dynasty even said it long ago. If my sons, who became the major heads of the European banks at that time, she said, if my sons did not want war, there would be no war. The corollary of that, of course, is when we want war, we'll generate the war. We have the money to do it. We can buy off the politicians. We buy off the media. We buy off the press. We buy off the scientists, the medical people. We can literally create whatever world we want. And we can get you to go fight and die on battlefields remotely, fighting your own cousins because of our vast control of the media and the money. And they have done that. But praise be to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, the world, especially the world of the warriors, is waking up to that atrocity. Revelation 18:4 tells us, and another voice from heaven came to my ears, saying, come out of her, my people, so that you may have no part in her sins and in her punishments. It's those punishments that are right around the corner. It is those punishments that they don't want you to think about. Edom Esau is about to experience Obadiah verse 18. That is why their anger is so great. That is why they want to inject and poison as much of mankind as they can, because the dragon and the dragon's children know their time is short. The hourglass is running out of sand, and so they have to take as many souls as they can. They must create as much chaos and destruction, death and blood as they can. Now is the time when the righteous have to stand firm and say no more. And all you have to do is say, I do not consent. I'm not watching your damnable television. I'm not watching your sick, demented movies. I'm not buying into your late-night television hosts who are part of this charade that is going on. I'm not listening to any of the CNN or the rest of the Communist News Network's talking heads. I'm not buying it anymore. I'm not going to get my food at your local big-box stores anymore. I'm going to support the local farmers and ranchers. I'm not buying any of your New World Order bullshit. I don't consent. I'm not putting a diaper on my face. I'm not putting a poisonous, toxic substance into my children or myself. I do not consent. I will not obey draconian orders. Because they have no jurisdiction over us, ladies and gentlemen. You're either a child of the Most High or you are not. As Yahshua said long ago, my children, my people, hear my voice. I get a lot of phone calls from people that say that, well, some family member told us that we're a mixed multitude. In other words, we're race mixers. How do we know? And I said, well, first of all, you don't go to 23andMe or any other Jewish DNA group because that's just a collection point and you can't trust the results of it anyway. I said, he clearly stated two things. One, good trees bear good fruit, so judge people by their fruit. That will tell you one thing. And number two, my people, my children, hear my voice. What voice would that be? Would it be the voice of the Holy Spirit within, that little still voice that when you go into a quiet place in your home that speaks to you? Some people might call it a conscience or whatever. Okay? Hear my voice. That would be one way he could speak to you, but he could also speak to you through what? His prophets. There's a lot of people say there is no office for a prophet today. Really? There's no office for somebody to represent the Father in this sick, demented world? There's nobody to represent the Father here in a world where the mainstream churches have become apostate and even supporting the works of this satanic order, such as the Roman Catholic Church, which is satanic from top to bottom. There's a lot of good people trapped in it, but the organization is satanic and evil, top to bottom. So how do you hear his voice? And when a prophet speaks, how can you say there's no place for a prophet today? We need a prophet today as much or even more than in ancient times. Take a look around you. Do you think Sodom and Gomorrah was any worse than what we've got today? Do you think the towns and villages that the Israelites razed to the ground because of their bestiality, homosexuality, and disease? A lot of people don't know that. They go, well, that's the God of the Bible in the Old Testament. He's an angry God, and he wanted them to commit murder. No, he didn't. He didn't have them commit murder. Doesn't the scripture say that diseased individuals, sick and depraved, pedophiles, murderers, traitors, kidnappers, those that practice sex with animals, what does the book say? It says put them to death. Why? Because they are mentally ill and they are physically diseased. Everything in scripture is about health. That's why we are holistic. I've been holistic for decades because that's the biblical way. And I came to find out that as all things in scripture, if you will simply trust and obey, you get a blessing. Our nations suffer because we're not trusting and obeying our Father. It's really quite that simple. There is a regathering of the men. The men are starting to reach out to each other. Praise Yahweh for that. I've wanted to see that for so long. And the men are finally leaving their vices, their entertainment, their television, their endless pursuit of females. And they're starting to talk to one another and reach out in fellowship and wanting to work with one another. Hallelujah. Finally. Finally. The men are starting to realize that this world system was built to put us down, disenfranchise us, the true Adamic people that were put here with a very, very special mission on this earth. Another scripture that pretty clearly sums it up is, the whole world is in travail waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested. What does that mean? The whole world is suffering under this dystopic, demonic system waiting for the sons of the Most High to show up for the game, to get off the bench, stop sitting on their asses, get in the fight. When the sons of Yah decide enough is enough, it will end. It will end. And so there are those out there that say that this is no longer needed. Our people don't need the prophet screaming at them, come back to the Father. Come back in repentance and humility. Learn to be humble once again. Learn to love one another again instead of this constant jealousy that we have amongst our people. And it means all of our people, men and women both. But jealousy is an ugly, ugly vice for a people to have. It shows a lack of self-confidence and a lack of faith and trust. That is a J word that's almost as evil and ugly as the Jew word. Now, a lot of people out there, they get triggered by certain words because the media has done that. And if you're one of those people, you need to tune out and just leave because you're not part of our crowd. You're not part of the remnant that's going to survive in this world because you're easily triggered. As Scripture says, there is no topic that we as adults cannot discuss. There is none. It doesn't exist. We can talk about anything. If you can't handle it, that's your problem. If you're triggered by the word of Germany or Nazi or SS or Holocaust or Jew or Holodomor, if any of those words trigger you, you're a brainwashed moron. And we don't want your company. We don't want your counsel. We don't want your support. We just want you to go away. Get out of our way. You're a roadblock to the completion of our mission. But if that resonates with the soul, with your spirit, then you need to listen on. And the remnant is growing right now. The remnant is growing. And his elect are beginning to realize the important mission that they have upon this earth. And that is to address and soothe the wounds of our people that have been created by these monsters in shoe leather that walk amongst us. We have many wounds that have to heal as a people and as individuals in relationships. Many wounds that need a healing. And how do you heal? How did Messiah heal? He healed, first of all, with a right spirit and a huge heart. A heart with empathy for the suffering of his people. And that's how we do it. Grow a huge heart and have empathy for the condition of our people. As the scripture says, all of Jacob Israel cried out. Further proof that it's not talking about a country with the name Israel. It's talking about a people, the descendants of Jacob. A country does not cry out. People cry out. Ella says here, women support and aid the lions who cover them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, Ella gets it. Ella gets it, and there's others listening to get it, but Ella really gets it. She should be holding classes for the ladies out there. She could teach you a lot. She's been on this earth a good number of years, and she gets it. I wish to God that we had hundreds of thousands of Ellas walking this earth who get it. Because it's the Ellas of this world that empower men to be the warriors that they're supposed to be. Unlike the average American female today who is a mind suck and an energy suck and a financial suck to the men of this world. Yeah, they are. Just the opposite of what they were put here for. They are Debbie Downers. They are like a black hole in space that just suck the energy and money and power and good spirit of our men right out of them. Whereas the women who get it right, the Ellas of this world, it's just the opposite. When a woman behaves as Psalm 31 says, then our men are ready to pick up their spears and put on their armor and go do battle with the enemy, because now they have a reason to fight. As Mike said, the world is full of two different kinds of men, merchants and warriors. Merchants do everything they do on a daily basis for money and the things money buys. They're merchants. They're not real men. They're just males. They have the male anatomy, but they have no manliness about them. They're not real men. Whereas warriors do everything they do for women. Now, a lot of people will take the sexist approach of that, and that's their problem, again, not mine. And Mike expounded on that during our interview. When he says they do everything for women, it's what women represent that he was talking about. They represent love, charity, support, children, family, future. A godly woman, again, that you can find in Proverbs, a godly woman is to be sought more than precious stones, rubies, diamonds, because she's that valuable. And she's also that rare, because most women aren't that way, especially today. The Jews, due to their influence, have turned the women into these things that men don't even want to be around. And I talk to a lot of men every single day. I talk to some ladies, too, for counseling and whatnot, but mostly it's the men. And this ministry was started 23 years ago for the men. That was number two on the list. Number one, of course, was Yeshua and the truth. But number two was for our men, a place where our men could hear the plights of other men and know that this world is against us, and it's on purpose, because our men have a very special place in this world, and they have a very special mission in this world. And it's time for them to regather as a band of brothers for that very special mission. That's why I'm excited to be working with a family out of Miami, and Mike is the ringleader of that family, in developing RighteousArmy.org. And the national militia effort as far as communications. It's not militia in the sense of an army. It's militia in the sense of an army of communicators, organizers, mentors, support group. The time for the military militia is in the future. It's not quite time for that, but it's out there. The military part of the militia has been in training for decades. I've seen it. It's the leaders, the brothers, the guys at the top that need to regather first. And that's starting to happen, and praise Yahweh for it. So these meetings seem to be going very well, and they're picking up steam and support. And so we say hallelujah for that. Some of the patriots that are joining the meetings have been talking about building a patriot network. There is a gentleman who has built a platform that's very professional, and we could have a chance to build a network bigger than Rush Limbaugh or Alex Jones or any of the rest of them. And this platform would be built by men of pure integrity. They're not going to be multimillionaires like Rush was and Alex Jones. And they're certainly not going to be led by the nose by their Jewish handlers. This will not be for making money. This will be for the regathering of our people and getting the truth out there and to bring this world back into a righteous state and get out of this demonic, unholy state that we're in right now. that's crushing people, both physically and spiritually. The dragon is angry. His time is short. It's good to see that men are working together and with the help of the righteous ladies out there. So praise Yahweh for both. We need both. We need the warriors, the tip of the spear, but we also need that support mechanism behind them. It's just as important. It is time for a great jubilee. Our people have suffered enough, and the innocents of this world certainly have suffered enough. I'm tired of reading about people that are falling over dead from these damnable toxins that are putting in their bodies. I'm tired of hearing what the men in uniform, both law enforcement and military, are doing at the behest of these communists, these atheist communists. I pray a curse on them. I don't pray a blessing on congresspeople, military, or police. I don't pray a blessing on them unless they're righteous. If they are righteous men and women, then they have my full support. But if they're doing the work of these monsters in shoe leather, these communists, these Zionist pigs, then they're not our friends. And why would you pray a blessing upon such people? The scripture does not support that. It says that we are not to pray for the unrepentant sinner. And these people are unrepentant. They quite quickly say, I have to have a job. I have to have a paycheck. I've got school to pay for, a car to pay for, a house to pay for, electric bills and sewer bills, etc., etc. See, I got all these bills, and I got credit card bills and student loans, and oh my gosh, I've got all these needs. Well, again, doing the work of the enemy for those reasons will not get you a pass. I hate to tell you that, but you don't get a pass. Would life be difficult because you do the right thing? It might be, but you still do the right thing. As General Stonewall Jackson said during the War of Northern Aggression against the South, he was a Southern general, highly respected. General Stonewall Jackson said, duty is ours, consequences belong to God. So for the warriors, it is our duty that is paramount, not the consequences of doing our duty, doing our duty. And as righteous men and women under Yahweh, it's the same thing. We're part of His army on this earth. You do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And let Yahweh take care of the consequences. I've used this radio show from time to time as an example. 23 years ago, when I first started talking about putting up a radio show on a weekly basis, I was advised by family and friends not to do it. You're going to put a target on your back. You're not going to get hired. They're going to seek you out. They'll kill you. They'll destroy you. They'll wound you. They'll do this. They'll do that. And I'm not trying to blow my own horn here, but it's my own story, so it's firsthand knowledge. It's not hearsay. It's not a made-up story. But I determined, after much prayer, that I was going to do it because I felt it was necessary to do it, that it was a calling from the Father, and that I had to do it. And I didn't sit around worrying about the consequences. Instead, I put my mind to putting the show together and worrying about getting good witnesses, good guests, to come on with their stories and their truths and their books and their research, to get the truth out there, but also to give a platform to our men, to expound upon what's happening to our men. I put the consequences in the hand of our Father, and I still do that to this day. I'm fully aware that if the beast wanted to consume me, they could do it. There's nothing I could do to stop them. It's been that way for 23 plus years. However, I also know that if the Father be for us, who can be against us? It says so in Scripture. It says so in my heart. It says so in the Holy Spirit. If my Father supports what I'm doing, if I am doing everything I can to support Him and to show love and obedience to Him, then why would I worry about what somebody else might do to me? For two reasons. One, if they do get away with it, the Father must have a purpose for it. I'm okay with that. And if they don't, if the Father says, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm, that's what Scripture says. He reproved kings and princes. That means the top levels. He reproved them and said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Are you one of His anointed? And if you have a very special anointing, you're one of His prophets. Remember, the office of the prophet is to represent Yahweh to the people. If you represent Yahweh to the people, you in effect are a prophet. If you call for the people to repent and come back to the Father, you're doing the office of a prophet. Not all prophets prophesize, make predictions, or put dates and times on things. Everybody believes that's what a prophet does. No, it's not true. A prophet represents our Father to the people and calls out to them, as Malachi clearly states, about the spirit of Elijah in the last days. Calls out to the people to repent and come back under the good graces of our Father. On your own, I would like you to again read Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm not going to have time to get into that. But get under Yahweh's protection, folks. It reminds me of the story of the firefighter years ago. There was a firefighter that was going through the woods after the woods had been burnt by this forest fire. And he happened to look up and he saw, I believe it was a large bird. It was either an eagle or an owl. But a large bird. And the bird was standing on the ground, erect. And he was amazed. He thought, how did that bird survive in this forest fire? And as he got closer, he realized that this bird had died in its place right there, died. But then he heard a noise, chirping. And so he moved the bird's feathers, and there were little chicks that were still alive under the wings of their mother. And that story moved me tremendously. Because that's who we are, folks. We're the little chicks under the wings of our Father. That's the only protection you have on this earth. When are you going to realize it? You're not going to have enough money, power, prestige, enough poisons put into your body to protect you. No government of man is going to protect you. No military or police are going to protect you. When are you going to wake up? That's why the Psalm 91 is so important when it says under His wings, and this story of this bird in the forest is exactly like that. You and I are no more than little chicks. We like to think we're these roaring lions and dragons and we can just take on the world and do all these monstrous things, and yet we're powerless. In this world, you're powerless, folks. When you're outside His goodwill, when you're outside His mercies. If you think we're here by accident, you are foolish. this world and its complicated beauty and the beauty of the human body and all the things it can do, how in the world can you think that this is all by accident? And how can you think that the Creator doesn't play a part in our day-to-day lives? How can you think that? The Creator who created all this and put you here, gave you life, and you don't think He's involved in your day-to-day existence? You've shut Him out, and you wonder why you're in the misery you're in, dealing with a societal breakdown that we are, or your body is breaking down. You've abandoned Him, folks. He never abandons us, ever. We turned our back on Him. You want to see things turn around, then come back under His good graces. Get under those wings of protection and allow yourself to become strong and allow yourself to regain your self-esteem and your courage to take on evil wherever you find it, but also the courage to love your own people. And by extension, love the whole world when it is righteous, when it is doing good works. And get rid of that ugly J word, jealousy. Throw it away. Put it on a piece of paper, big block letters, jealousy, and go outside and set it on fire. Get rid of it and start thinking like a family once again. I received an email, I believe this was yesterday, so I'm just going to read it real quick because I thought it was very appropriate. There are two things in life for which you pay a very high price: laziness and cowardice. If you are either of those things, you will achieve very little in life. And not only that, you will also suffer unnecessarily. I have seen it over and over again with people I've come across in my life. Your life is your responsibility and no one else's. What you make of it is a reflection of how much you have prepared to work and risk. It's as simple as that. You have to be prepared to work at everything, not just professionally. You have to work hard at being a good parent, a good partner, a good sibling, a good friend, a good child, and a good human being. Everything takes time and effort. Even good health requires hard work. You have to buy organic foods, which you may not find in the convenience store around the corner. So you might have to travel further to find it. You have to cook for yourself. You have to research natural alternatives for healing and detoxifying and supplements that will keep you strong. You have to exercise and you have to make right lifestyle choices. No alcohol, no smoking, no porn, no drugs, and no dumbing down reality television. The lazy alternative, ready-made food, which will be full of toxicity and GMO ingredients, drugs for any health issue, Prozac for any emotional or mental issue, alcohol to drown your sorrows, recreational drugs to have a good time, porn as entertainment, and watching garbage on television so as not to think about it all. Well, good luck to you with those choices. They all lead to the same place: physical, mental, and emotional suffering down the line. It's your choice. Cowardice is just as dangerous. If you don't have the courage to stand up for yourself, to speak up, to take the less trodden path, and to say no to the things you know are not good for you, then you are back on the road that leads nowhere of any good. It's your choice. Every step you take, every choice you make, every thought you have, every word you say, is either leading you in the right or the wrong direction. So watch yourself very closely and choose wisely. Choose ready to work. Choose ready to risk. choose ready to evolve. Choose ready to become better, healthier, and happier. The good news is that you can change course at any time. It is never too late. You are never too old. It is never too far. It is always your choice. Your life is yours and no one else's, so make something of it to be proud of. Hallelujah. And we could give you a whole list of scripture that supports the ideas expressed there. Not to mention, we've talked about it on this program many, many times. So with that said, again, take a good look at Ezekiel 36. It's not a very long chapter when you get time. It's much to say there about the prophecies of the mountains of Jacob, Israel, our concerns, and the Father, and why he allows the heathen to rail against his people. It's because of our disobedience. The good news is that when we turn from this disobedience, when we turn back to him and recognize our faults and decide that we will not concede or give consent to the evil ones, that's when the Father steps in. That's when doors start to open. That's when problems actually get solved. When the righteous stand firm, the wicked flee. Or don't you believe that? I've witnessed it. I've seen it. I have total faith in it. And when the number of the righteous increases, the number of power against evil increases. And eventually we prevail. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for this opportunity to reach out to one another. We thank you for the gathering of the righteous men at this time and the righteous ladies. We just thank you for the fact that our people are beginning to look inwardly at the problems that we have created for ourselves with our incorrect attitudes. Help us to understand attitude is everything, as the scripture says that we read here just now. Attitude is everything. Give us good attitudes, Father, right attitudes. Give us good discernment to see through this ocean of lies and deceptions we find ourselves in. Give us the strength and courage to seek truth, which there is a famine for in this day and age. Be with us and guide us in all that we say and do, to thy glory and for thy kingdom. Forgive us our sins, walk with us always, and protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's precious name we ask and pray. Hallelujah.
don't mind overcrowding this nation with a swarm of foreign immigrants who don't care about the population, who don't care if it's fouling our nest. When are you ever gonna read the writing upon the wall? We got crime overtaking our cities. We got gangs taking over our streets. We keep handing out more and more welfare, though it never seems to meet their needs. What kind of culture are we cultivating? One where you never have to pull any weeds. If we don't stop this immigration, this great nation's gonna fall. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Now can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. How can we ever come to any solution when all we ever do is debate? We've got to get a tighter grip on our borders. We've got to seriously legislate and quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist and quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time we start closing that gate and quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist and quit trying to fabricate that I hate and get a grip on immigration in these great United States. Let's get a grip on immigration. Now you know not too late. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist police state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States and quit trying to fend